Welcome to the LivingInForsyth.com podcast. Can you really combine business, faith, and community into a successful formula? One Coming Restaurant seems to have figured out the key to combining business with a people-focused ministry. Feed the Well is about more than food. Welcome to Living in Forsyth. Well, I'm so excited today on the Living in Forsyth podcast to be joined by Darren and Tanya Cohen, the couple behind Feed the Well Barbecue and Biscuit Barn and the broader mission of The Well. Very excited to get into how this all started, what inspired each of you personally, and how Feed the Well became an extension of a much bigger calling. Darren, Tanya, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Question one is, who's cooking if you guys are here? Do we have good people in charge at lunchtime?
Yeah, we got a great crew. Miguel oversees the smokehouse. Mary Lou and Rick oversee the restaurant. And we got Hazen from the Bahamas is one of our main chefs that's running the show as well.
Very exciting. Lori and I, my wife and I, were in last weekend. Everybody's so friendly there. And excited to see someone walk in. So that was fun for us. But Tanya, I'd like to start with you, really the heart behind The Well. For someone hearing about it for the first time, what was the original vision and what need in the community were you responding to when you started?
Yeah, thanks. In 2018, I came to a point where I was just calling out to God and saying, God, how can I help others have what you've given me? And what that was that I was asking him for was an authentic group of people to gather and connect both with him and with each other in an authentic space where you were truly seen and known and loved. And it wasn't just about learning a bunch of information, but it was truly about connecting in a safe place. And my heart has always been for people who are lonely or left out, isolated, and how do we draw them in? How do we include them in spaces where they may not know how to connect? And then also, how do we help people know God outside of the church? Because some people have been hurt by church or hurt by a Christian and they won't walk in. And so kind of all those things were on my heart that day when I cried out to God and said, how can I be a part of helping others find what you've given to me? And he just reminded me of the story in John 4 of the Bible, where when Jesus lived on this earth, he walked to the well in Samaria and he met the woman at the well. And she was one of those isolated, lonely people in her town. And he went specifically to meet her and he saw her. He knew her. He knew everything about her and he loved her still. And in that encounter with Jesus, she got saved and she went and told everyone, I've just met a man who knows everything about me and loves me. Come meet him. And so this kind of next sensation that I was sensing from his answer to my prayer was the whole community was gathered around the well. And in his presence, they were encountering that same love, that belonging, that knowing, that acceptance, and the joy that came from that. And so I said to Darren that day, God answered my prayer. We need a well in our community. And he said, that sounds amazing.
And that's, you know, kind of part two, Darren. Your journey is fascinating too. You're already a food professional who loves barbecue. Where did you begin to see that this could mesh together and become what it is today?
Yeah, it was pretty quick once Tanya brought the idea to my attention. And I had a lot of experience on nonprofit boards and fundraising. And I know how hard it could be to fund a nonprofit. And they're all looking for some kind of business or opportunity to make their own money and not have to rely on grants and donations and such. So I think about 2 weeks after, I said, I've got an idea, honey. Why don't I take my passion for barbecue and be the fundraising arm for your passion for the community? Of course, I have a passion for the community as well. But so quickly, we decided to do monthly fundraisers. Once a month, we would just put out a menu to the community. We'd have a crew that would come to our house for a couple of days, take over the kitchen and the basement. We'd cook barbecue. And on Friday, everybody would come pick up their orders at the well. and we were doing really well. We had about 50 to 100 households a month were coming to order and pick up orders. And a couple of years later, I was a regular at Fagan's Biscuit Bar, and I would have a lot of business and ministry meetings there. And after a few years, I thought, I wonder if they want to sell this place. And I didn't really want to be in the restaurant business. God had to provoke this because I didn't want a big restaurant and they weren't selling the restaurant. I reached out to the owners and I said, "Hey, have you ever thought about selling Fagan's Biscuit Barn?" And their response was, "No, but let's talk." And a
Interesting.
year later, we owned Fagan's Biscuit Barn, which is now Feed the Well Barbecue and Biscuit Barn, and all the proceeds go to the well.
That's a compelling story from a business point of view. We have business listeners who I think are interested in that dynamic because many may be afraid to combine, may not be a ministry, but any kind of non-business combined with a business location. Sometimes I think they're scared away from. What do you think of that thought process? Did that ever cross your mind, like we can't do this, it won't go over, or were you always full steam ahead?
We were definitely full steam ahead, but that's our nature. I don't know that Tanya and I have the word can't in our vocabulary. A lot of people around us will ask questions. What about this? What about that? We're both, I'm a business entrepreneur. Tanya is a what, spiritual entrepreneur and ministry entrepreneur. So we have that mindset of let's go do it and we'll answer the questions and figure out the other pieces later. But I would say this, one of the key components is keeping the profit world separate from the nonprofit world. So the restaurant is kind of unique and interesting because it is technically legally a for-profit business, but 100% of those profits go to the well. So two separate entities, and while it is all for ministry and nonprofit work, it flows through a for-profit model, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, that's very interesting. And you're proving that it can be done. You can do good works and provide great product and a commercial venture. So, Tanya, tell me, you're successful at this point. The early days must have been a little stressful. How was it and how did you get through it? I know you're a person of faith, but give us some insight in how you got through those early days of launching this.
Yes. So when we found the space that we're in on Peachtree Parkway, we have a 1450 square foot retail space in the Creekstone Village Shopping Center on Peachtree Parkway. And we got that space, we set it up, and several of us would be there day by day. And we would literally look at the door and say, God, who's your one today? And we would wait for that one to walk in and just welcome them and connect with them. And what that's grown into is a few hundred people every week coming through the doors. We've got three or four different groups that meet throughout the day all week long. We sometimes talk about being we fill the gap between Sunday and Sunday for people of faith who want to grow in their relationship with God. And so, yeah, we've just watched him do it one by one as he's brought people in. And in the early days, it was like, oh, who told you about us? And we knew the person. And now the ripple effect has happened to the point that we don't know the person who told them about what we're doing and how they came to know about us. And so, yeah, we've grown a lot and we're actually looking at our phase two and then even the phase after that right now to grow and offer more for the community. Are mainly right now we have women who come because we do most of our things during the day, but we do have some groups where men are included. We have young adults, we've done things for teens and young children. We focus on people who care for people with special needs. We've done widows, divorced women. So we try to love on the whole community. And then we also do service projects. So one of the things that we do is we want to be that hub in the community that offers this beauty of connection and growth. But then we go out and we be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community where we're serving alongside other nonprofits and churches. And where are your needs? And how can we come alongside you? And we believe we're stronger together.
Wow, that's powerful. It all works together and you can start to see it. I can see where it can begin to grow. I did want to ask you later in the conversation, but I'll ask you now because I know there are people coming to you saying, I want to start a well, right? In different parts of the country and world. Is that correct?
That's so true. Yeah, a lot of people come in and say, "Wow, I've been wanting to set up something like this. Tell me how you got started. And could we do this in Jasper? Could we do this in Conyers? Could we do this in Mississippi?" You know, we've had all kinds
That's
of
amazing.
requests. And so I've talked through what it takes. We actually had someone replicate what we did, and they named it a different name, and that was perfectly fine. We weren't franchising or anything, whatever it
Sure.
takes to reach people with the love of God.
That's awesome. Darren and Tanya Cohen, the founders of Feed the Well Barbecue and Biscuit Barn on Peachtree Parkway in Cumming, our guests. One of the great things is, of course, the food, Darren. I think we should talk about that a little bit. One of the things that I love is that you're open for breakfast. Well, you can get breakfast until 2 in the afternoon, which is really nice. And you have great coffee. So I will put that plug in there because that's one of my measurements of a restaurant, regardless of what they serve, is how's the coffee? And it was excellent. So hats off to you. But the food is delicious. Let's talk a little bit about that. So you have barbecue, but you have breakfast as well. And you can actually combine it a little later in the morning, right? Or all morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, as you mentioned, we serve breakfast 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. The lunch, dinner, barbecue is 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. So that 3 hour overlap from 11 and 2, you can get both or you can combine both. You can get brisket or pork on a biscuit. You can just kind of combine different menu items, which I love. And thanks for the coffee shout out. We actually get it from
Yeah.
Sip Coffee down the street on Peachtree Parkway. So I'll give
Nice.
them a little shout out as well. And really, the barbecue, what was behind it is I've traveled the country and studied barbecue for 30 years. Tanya didn't used to like barbecue, but she's become a fan as we've gone around and identified the best barbecue. And the
Yeah.
goal is simply this, is to make the best barbecue of each region. So a lot of people will come in and say, "What is your style of barbecue?" And my answer is, so the best beef is in Texas. Everybody would agree. So we're doing Texas style beef. We do Midwest style ribs, so Kansas City, St. Louis style ribs, I would say. And then Southern or even Georgia style pork, which I'm trying to create Georgia style pork. No, Georgia doesn't own anything and nobody owns pork. So that's the style I'm trying to bring to the community.
Now you have a smokehouse on site.
Yeah, absolutely. We built a smokehouse. We got two huge smokers in there. They hold 500 pounds of meat each. It's a rotisserie, so everything cooks super evenly. Got all the refrigeration and spices, everything in the smokehouse. I've been working on these recipes for about 30 years of just testing, back testing,
Man.
and fine-tuning, and frankly, every day trying to get 1% better. Now that we're a restaurant, I can't overhaul the recipes we're cooking, but just one degree, one little extra flavor, just every day trying to get a tiny bit better.
Tanya, what is what has been the response of the community? I know people are utilizing the location for a wide variety of things that you explained, but what are people saying about not only the food, but just the whole concept?
Yeah, when people come to the well, sometimes, they'll ask me to describe it, and I say it's just something you have to experience. And when you come and you're just welcomed with love and acceptance and you feel safe, a lot of people say the well feels like home. It's something they found that they needed that they didn't even know they needed. And so one of the things and ways that we describe the well and really the culture that we want to infuse over at Feed the Well also is just that safe, loving, connected, authentic, genuine environment where people feel like they're at home. When you're home, if you think about what home should feel like, you should be able to be yourself. You should be able to not be judged or fixed or corrected or rescued. It's just like, oh, I can breathe here. And so that's really the culture that both places, what they provide, and where people feel like they can come and just feel like they're at home and connect with others in that safe place. And the way that we create safety at the well, it's really embedded in our logo, which says "Be real, be loved, and belong." And we've learned a lot about neurology and psychology and the way that other terms are used to describe these things. But when a person walks into a new space, the right brain kicks in first, and it says, "Where is joy in this room? Where are my people, and where do I belong?" And so if they walk in and all three of those questions are answered, they feel safe and then they allow themselves to connect. But if they don't experience that, they go into kind of like a flight or fright kind of thing, flight or fright. And so then they don't feel safe. And so the connection barrier is there. And so creating that, which hits the neurology, and then psychology calls it a secure attachment. So when you are securely attached, then you feel safe to grow. And we just like to have this abundance mindset that, you know, we can encourage each other, we can give generously, we can love generously, and we can give when it doesn't make sense. And when people discover their cup of joy and they're serving out of how they're made to serve, there's joy in the room. A lot of times people will serve just out of obligation because they want to serve God and they want to do something, but they're not in the place where they were made to serve. And when you discover where you're made to serve, that's a an expression of joy. And so that joy fills the room, and that's one of the things that draws people in. And so we try to do that in place both places as well. Where are people thriving and doing their best in these roles in the well and feed the well, so that when people come in, they experience that joy and that safe place, and they're are open to connection.
Where do you see the business, the ministry, in 5 years? Have you thought that far ahead?
Oh yeah, we have lots of future vision. Darren can answer from the business standpoint. The vision that God has given me is that we would be a campus in the community. And so we would have places for men, women, families, the whole community to gather. And really, that on this campus, we would also be able to bus children after school where they could come over to our campus and they could experience this type of connection and authentic love. And once their lives are transformed through knowing how to connect and experiencing love, they can take that back into their homes and their neighborhoods and their schools. And we believe that this ministry will be a part of transforming this whole community with the love of God.
Yeah, one of the things from the business side is besides just the obvious desire to grow, but to be a part of the community, right? To be a hub in the community, as Tanya talked about with the well. One of the things that overlaps, and it did before we took over, a lot of men's and women's groups, Bible studies, high school groups meet at Feed the Well in the morning or at night to do their gatherings and discussions. And sometimes they eat, sometimes they don't, but they're there to be community as well. And then Tanya talked about some opportunities where we may expand into other areas. And we don't know yet, but we're going to see if we prove the model to maybe put a Feed the Well next to any other future wells to be the ongoing funding for those. But most of all, in the next 1 to 5 years, with the proceeds from Feed the Well, would be the ability to financially support the campus that Tanya spoke about and to be a greater part of the Forsyth County community.
Well, we encourage everyone to visit Feed the Well Barbecue and Biscuit Barn and enjoy the delicious food and the fellowship. How else can people follow the mission and get more information?
So our website is thewellconnection.org, and you can read about us there. You can see all the different groups that meet, events that we have. We offer a prayer ministry and lots of other things. Our calendar changes regularly, so I recommend subscribing. You'll get a weekly email that keeps you up to date with everything that we have going on.
And the restaurant website is feedthewell.com. So check us out, of course, Facebook, Instagram. And in case it's not obvious, the restaurant and the ministry are maybe a half mile apart. It's 1530 and 1790 Peachtree Parkway. So it's easy to check both out back to back.
Perfect, right here and coming. Well, we appreciate you both. I know you're very busy, obviously. Thanks for taking time to be on Living in Forsyth podcast. You're great guests and great people. And thank you for all that you're doing. And please keep it up and we'll stay in touch.
Thanks so
Thanks
much.
for having us.
Appreciate it.
Tanya and Darren Cohen, great people, great food, and a wonderful asset to the Forsyth County community. Hey, if you get a chance, visit us at livinginforsyth.com. And while you're there, sign up for the free newsletter so you'll be up to date on everything that is going on in FOCO and North Georgia. We'd love to hear from you as well. So feel free to reach out to us. The email's at the website. And we're also on Instagram, by the way, at livinginforsyth. Until next time, this is Mike Sciano, your humble host and publisher. of livinginforsyth.com. Have a great week.